My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You are listening to the On Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Lieberman, lawyer for entrepreneurs, founder of Hashtag Legal, and your go-to resource for all things legal and business strategy. In my 16 years of practicing law, my clients have come to me with some of the most unexpected questions. You would not believe some of the things that I hear. In this podcast, I will identify and explain the issues in your business where legal and business strategy intersect, using real-world experiences and interviews with leading experts. You will get a behind-the-scenes sneak peek into the real-life successes and failures of business owners with my analysis of the things we did right and the things we could do better. So sit back and relax and get ready to learn in the most un-business way possible. Welcome to episode 7, season 2 of the Unbusiness Podcast. Today, we have a very cool interview with Molly Mark, all about salary and career negotiations, which I think is really cool. I mostly talk to entrepreneurs, but I think that Molly's information is wonderful when it comes to whether or not you're working full-time or you are an entrepreneur, because really salary negotiations, money negotiations, terrifying to so many people. And that's frankly why Molly started her blog and her platform, because there just weren't a lot of really good resources about it. So I think Molly gives wonderful information. It'll be really helpful to anybody who feels intimidated by salary or rate negotiation or anything around money. Molly Mark is the creator of Negotiate This, a blog and platform focused on all things negotiation. To say she is obsessed with the career negotiation is a bit of an understatement. Her content consists of her own lived experience paired with a heck of a lot of research. She is on a mission to equip every person with the tools they need to negotiate a better future and take action in their career. Find her on her negotiation blog at negotiatethis.org and on Instagram at negotiatethis. Now on to the interview.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I am so excited by my guest today. Molly, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jamie. Happy to be here.
Molly, can you tell everyone in our audience who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, I'm Molly. I'm the creator of Negotiate This. It's a platform. It's a blog. I'm on Instagram a lot. And basically, I just created it because I wanted to normalize negotiation tips in a way that I didn't really see was going on. The platforms that I work on have a lot of focus on negotiation tools, strategies, and motivation.
Love that. What made you decide to create it? I mean, I can imagine, but I don't want to assume.
Basically, I didn't know that I could negotiate, even though I was about midway, I feel like, through my career. I had jobs and I didn't really know that negotiation was on the table and that I could do it. And so I just started looking around. I actually found out from a coworker. She came back from a meeting with our boss and she said, oh, you know, she kind of walked in and she said, I'm going to negotiate this. And my eyes widened, my ears perked up, and I was like, what? Like, we can do that? I had no idea I could do that. So then my search began and I started looking, you know, how do I negotiate? What do I do? What are the tips and steps? And I didn't really feel like anything was speaking to me. I couldn't really find something that was giving me the tips. I found a lot of, you know, more businessy strategy, high level, and nothing was really speaking to me. So yeah, it came out of frustration and not really feel like anything was for me.
So when you were looking for a resource, and when you said looking for me, how did you view the intended audience of your website?
I viewed somebody just looking for quick tips, you know, somebody who wanted to, maybe they had it coming up the next week, maybe you have it the next day and you're like, where do I start? And I feel like I try to provide a platform where I have honest career conversations too. I kind of segue negotiation, honest career conversations, because there's a lot in the work world that can be frustrating, that can be aggravating, or that we just kind of is supposed to be under the rug, these side conversations that we don't really talk about, but yet everybody is apparently doing them. So the platform is really to kind of open that up so that we're talking about these big issues that we need to know that, you know, maybe we didn't know before.
I feel like when you have any conversation about money, right, whether it's salary, whether it's your fees, if you are an entrepreneur, because I think a lot of your tips can extend between, you know, employees and people running their own businesses, especially service professionals who have rates. It's very similar. That is how we get paid, right? And so anytime you're having that conversation about money, people instantly like shrink up. Why do you think salary and rate conversations are so hard for people?
That is a great question, Jamie. I'm glad you asked it like that too, because there's a lot of fear in the workplace. And I try to demystify this fear as well and open up these conversations. There's a lot of fear around money. We've been taught since we were little that this is not the cultural norm. It is not okay to talk about money. It's not okay to talk about salary. It's not okay to really know what the person next to you is doing or making or why. We're just supposed to keep this closed. And a lot of it is also because of company culture as well as company policy. Even though that's not, I mean, this is more your vein, that's not legal in a lot of different situations and circumstances. It is has been a written and unwritten rule in a lot of different organizations and companies for a very long time. So we already come in with this idea that we can't talk about it. We're not supposed to. I'm going to be disciplined, reprimanded. Maybe I might be fired for talking about my salary or my number, or even ask my colleague. So I think that that takes a little bit of uncovering too. And I also talk about that on my blog and my platform. You can talk about your number. You can talk about your salary. I think that that's a really important point too. And I think that's a really important too, to demystify the fact that you can talk about your number, even if it is written in that company policy. I really want people to dig into that. And I really think now we're in 2022, it's not going to be written there anymore, even though maybe a couple years ago it was, because it's not legal. So first of all, company policy, company culture. And second of all, it's just kind of a personal taboo norm. We're not supposed to know about money. We're not supposed to be asked about it. And I come in with the lens of equity a lot with these conversations. And one question that I often ask on my platform is, why can't we talk about salary? Why is it so secret? And if it is secret, I mean, that should raise some red flags for people. If it's a secret, who's benefiting from this secret? Who's gaining? And I feel like we can all answer that question. We kind of know. If I didn't know I could negotiate, I found out I was underpaid, I don't know what the person sitting next to me is making, who's benefiting here? I mean, you know, the organization, the company, and it's not to vilify anybody in this process. I mean, these are long held company and cultural norms. Yeah, I think it's a lot to unpack, but I think that where we start is to start having these conversations, to start asking these questions, to start knowing just the laws and that you don't really have to follow these cultural norms. And I also feel like we're in this really unique time right now where we can ask these questions. I mean, it's a workers' market. And I mean, I started this platform 2 years ago. And just from 2 years ago, the conversation is honestly flourishing of, I can talk about my number, how much are you making? And I'm happy to explore that topic as well, because I'm very passionate about that.
I think it's really important because you're right. I mean, it's so deep-seated that a lot of times people's fears around negotiation go so deep that before you can be an effective negotiator, you have to sort of understand your relationship with negotiation. You know, in our past season on this podcast, we talked about conflict. I did an entire episode on mindset and conflict because if you're not ready to approach it, you're never going to be effective. So I think these are really important conversations to get over those fears, which comes to our self-esteem, our value, oftentimes what we were taught as children, oftentimes what we were modeled through school. I mean, nobody teaches negotiation. It's just not something that you're ever taught about or told that you're supposed to be exploring. So I think they're incredibly important conversations to be starting, frankly, with kids at young ages so that they understand and are able to advocate for themselves. But I feel like once we get into the mindset and we're like, I'm ready to do this, right? You had that light bulb moment, obviously, and you were ready to do it. Where do you go from there? What is your piece of advice for, you know, individuals, whether it's a young person coming out of school or a new business owner or even somebody who's been in it for 20 years? And is finally ready to take the leap. What is your advice for those first few steps? Or what do you say someone should do to like get started in negotiating?
That's a big question. And starting small is the best way to go. And I feel like people maybe get swayed a different way because it's such a big topic, but starting small and knowing your value. And that idea in itself is kind of like, what does that mean? But knowing what you bring to the table, whether we're talking about quote unquote hard skills, quote unquote soft skills, knowing your specialized skills in that industry, really knowing what they want, that's a key part of it. And knowing what you bring to fulfill what they need and want is where you start. That's your baseline when you're walking into a negotiation. And then I have, you know, a lot of different tips along the way of, this is your checklist of the 5 items. These are what you ask for. You know, you have your 3 different numbers. But I think just walking in and knowing your skill set and how it compares to what they need and want is the very first step if we're going to break it down, Jamie.
I love that. I talk about in the first episode of this season, like my sort of framework for negotiation, and it falls right in. It's research. It's knowing your position. It's knowing their position. And it's sort of figuring out where they come together and how you guys complement each other. And then the parts that you have to figure out, which is obviously the bargaining part, which comes much, much later. How do you suggest for an individual who maybe feels like it's like a void of information? And I think this goes for employees and entrepreneurs, because employees obviously are scared to talk to their coworkers sometimes because of what you said, either written or unwritten rules. And entrepreneurs, we're petrified of talking. We're like these little islands that are like floating out there with really, you oftentimes don't even know what your competitors or even your peers are charging. And you can't just go and ask. So how do you start that research if you're an individual who's not even sure where to go?
I mean, there's a lot of different places that you can start right now, and you can go down a list of different ideas. But I think that that holistic, comprehensive search is what really needs to take place in any kind of research, whether entrepreneur or an employee search. If you feel like you have a void of knowledge, I heard this spoken about recently as well. We have an abundance of knowledge right now, more than ever before, you know, in the history of employee or entrepreneurial knowledge. So I want to kind of motivate people with that. You do have a lot of knowledge at your fingertips. It may not be all of the knowledge that the company has at their fingertips. I mean, they pay for those aggregated resources, so they may have a leg up, but don't let that dissuade you from going at the process full force. So I think that where is the easiest place to start is on those online platforms. And there's a lot of different, for example, for employees, I focus on mostly different employee negotiations. So going to those online resources, you can just Google online salary tools and you'll see different ones come up. And take those with a grain of salt as well. Those tend to skew low. If you can get some of those that are emailed to you, those can be more of the resources that are more legitimate, but always take those with a grain of salt because a lot of them are just different resources that people are inputting on themselves and not necessarily from the Department of Labor or those specific resources. So that's your first, you know, sort of easy go-to. I'm going to hop on the internet. And then I also have different articles and focuses on talking to different people in your industry about their number. So I have an article specifically about how do I ask my colleagues how much they make, because that is a really scary topic. And honestly, I'm going to be transparent. I didn't really feel okay asking my colleagues how much they made until I was really angry. And it was after I found out that I was underpaid. And I was just like, who cares? I'm going to ask because this is not okay that some people are being paid more than others. And for whatever reason, I didn't really know. So I have a whole article on how to ask employees in a tactful way, because this is still a taboo area. I think it's becoming more open as the years, as the months go by. That's where you can get some of the most accurate and detailed information. And you can go online and find some similar information, but you want to make sure that it's, you know, similar company size, geographic region. There are different sources that you want to look at, but somebody at that same company will be able to give you some of that really valuable piece of information. And I mean, I have a lot of different tips of how you can ask, like, hey, I have my performance review coming up. Do you mind me asking how much you make? Or, you know, something like, hey, I was thinking about asking for this. Do you think that that's in an appropriate range for me? So I have a whole list of different conversation starters like that. And it can also be a way for them to gauge where they're at, which will only help them as well. And maybe they've already negotiated with the manager or boss and they can say, yes, here's what I did. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. So I really look at taking a holistic approach. Look online, talk to your peers at your office or your workplace, you know, muster up the confidence, you know, be tactful about it. And also, I've recently heard a new tip about, especially for employees, email recruiters or reach out to recruiters on LinkedIn and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in this job. Can you give me, you know, is this an appropriate amount or can you tell me the range for this position? And that's been really successful for different people too. The last thing that I want to say about this topic is I think people are more open about it than we tend to think in our heads. We're telling ourselves this narrative that it's not okay. They're going to be mad. They won't talk to me. You know, it's unacceptable. And honestly, if somebody got in my LinkedIn inbox and said, hey, I'm new in this industry, or hey, I'm changing positions, can you tell me where you started or where you're at? I mean, I'm a little different, but absolutely, yes, I'm going to help out. And I think you'd be surprised about how many people are really willing to help out in the employee sector or in the entrepreneur area as well.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, you have nothing to lose by asking the question. The worst thing someone's going to say to you is, no, I'm not comfortable talking about that. And then, you know, but it's not going to end anything or cause any problems. And so I think that that's a really good approach. And I'll drop a link to that article because I love about the prompts, because I think sometimes people just don't even know where to start. So I think that's a great one. And it can be used in a lot of different areas because you really, frankly, if you don't ask, no one's going to ask.
Right. And I also have a little tidbit of how to pivot. If they're like, hey, I'm not comfortable asking that. You shouldn't be asking that at work. You know, different people have different preferences. I give you a little, you know, tip of how to pivot from that too, because I mean, you never know what will come up, but
awesome.
Just ask.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. That's good. Yeah, that's important to be talking about. And I definitely agree with that. I also find that you are right that this time in our where we are in 2022, people are just much more inclined to ask and feel a bit more power than they ever had before as workers, as business owners, whoever you are. I definitely think that people are looking and seeking information. And there is so much online, but your advice about considering your source is also really important. So many people pick sources and you're like, that's don't look at that one. So It is really key to just know what you're looking at. But the best information really is from the people that you can talk to. So I think that's wonderful advice. Once you're in the room, right? So we've done our research, we have an idea of what we're looking for. What is your approach for negotiation once you're sitting in that room and you're ready to start the conversation?
I make sure that I have, you know, I'm armed with the different data that I want to talk about. And you don't have to have it memorized either. If you want to walk in with, you know, a pointed list of, you know, three different ideas that you want to bring up to help you with your discussion, you can do that. It doesn't have to be all right here. I make sure I have, you know, calming techniques. It doesn't matter how many times you've been in the negotiation room. It can be nerve-wracking, and especially that first time. But after you've done it a few times, it's less nerve-wracking. So, you know, remember to take the deep breaths. So I think that those can be pretty baseline. Bring in notes if you want to. Maybe a small part can be the notes that you have the items that you want to touch on. It can also be for you to take notes about the process and the conversation. So it can have a double source there. So it's not just, you know, your cheat sheet or whatnot. But when you go into the negotiation, you want to have the specific points of how you're fulfilling what they need. And I recommend, based off of experts, is having three specific areas where you provide value that they need. They say that, you know, more than three can be an exhaustive list. It'll kind of look like a laundry list, like you're trying to, you know, beg a little bit, say, I do this, this, and this. So you want to have three strong points. And that's to say you can have different information within those three points. You know, say I mentored five different people. These were the results. This is what came from it. These were the outcomes. So having three solid points that you want to focus on, and also be ready for counter offers. Be ready if they say no. How will you respond? Maybe if you know that you didn't reach an objective that you needed to reach, you have a response for it. Maybe you'll say, I did not reach this objective, but I came and I finished these four projects in the meantime, and that was the rationale for this. It doesn't mean that you have to bring that up within the negotiation, but you're ready for those counter offers. And I think that that can be a really important piece for people to think, okay, I don't know what to do. What if they say no? What if they say, but you didn't complete X, Y, and Z? You're ready for that.
Do you feel like it's a good idea? Because I know sometimes in business negotiations, we'll walk in with sort of the deal breaker, the one where we say, this just isn't going to work for me anymore. That's a little different when you're an employee. So how do you recommend, you do need to still have some kind of leverage when you walk into a salary negotiation. So do you recommend having that deal breaker or that boundary where, you know, you'll talk to somebody, or if you're speaking about somebody's doing a salary negotiation, where it's okay for them to say, yeah, this just isn't going to work for me anymore. And I can't keep doing this kind of thing.
I think you said it, JV, when you said it depends on your leverage. And to answer your question straight out, yes, you do need to have your deal breaker or your, you know, best alternative to a negotiated agreement. Your option B is what I call it a lot in different blog posts. So yes, you absolutely need to walk in with that. And that option B really depends on your leverage and your other options. So when you walk into specifically a salary negotiation, you want to walk in with your three numbers. You want to walk in with your highest number. And a piece of advice that I love about that is when you say the number out loud, make it a high one, go higher than you think. Somebody that I just read about said, whatever you're thinking of for your high number, add $10,000 more. And then another piece of advice I like is when you say the number out loud, you should laugh the first time you say it, because we so often underestimate ourselves, and specific underrepresented groups underestimate how much they can ask for, even more so. So historically, I mean, that's holding us back as well. So you want your high number that you're going to ask for. You want the number that you want. This is the number that you feel good about, you feel happy about, that you're, you know, if they negotiated you down, that you're content walking away with this number. And then you have your walk number or your option B. And I don't necessarily like to consider it a walk number, because as an employee, not every employee can just walk away from the situation. You can't just leave your job. You have responsibilities. You know, it's not as easy as, okay, I'm just going to shut the door and I'm going to leave my job. So it's called a walk number, but it's really your option B, and it's what you're going to do next. And that has a lot of flexibility. Being able to walk away is very powerful, but I also feel like it can be sort of a scare tactic to stray away from negotiation. And we don't want that. We want everybody to negotiate in all the situations that they're in. So the option B can have a lot of flexibility. It can be, maybe I'm going to update my resume. Maybe I'm going to reach out to my network. Maybe I'm going to, you know, ask for this instead of this, you know, so you have different options and items that you want to negotiate. And it's not always just a number. It can be a lot of different items within the workplace as well. We've seen a lot of different flexible options right now, especially. So there's a lot more to it, but you always want to have your option B when you're walking in to a negotiation.
Yeah, for sure. And I like that last point that you said, it's just not about the money. You know, for some people, what's most important to them is something else. So I like to refer to, you know, what we're negotiating really is our currencies. So what are the things that we are interested in negotiating? It could be more time off. It could be a flexible work schedule. It could be lots of different things. For some people, they're very happy with the money, but maybe they need something else. You can negotiate that too. And it's easy to get lost in the dollars. And not to remember that there's lots of things that can be negotiated and that you can have options for. I like the laugh piece of advice. That is a good one. And that applies particularly also, I think, to entrepreneurs too, who sometimes we say our rates and we're like, what? No, no one's going to pay that. And then they do. So it's pretty magical. Molly, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been so helpful. I like that we had a slightly different sort of focus this time around in talking about salary negotiations, because it really is a topic that isn't often talked about very much. I know some of our listeners also have side businesses and full-time jobs. And I do think that this information is so helpful to entrepreneurs as well, particularly service-based ones who are setting rates, and it's just as scary. So please tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on my blog at negotiatethis.org. I have a lot of different negotiation tips, strategies, some of the articles I talked about, as well as other honest career conversations I like to dig into. And I'm on Instagram practically all the time at negotiatethis. And I've newly started posting on LinkedIn just with the brand name Negotiate This, really trying to have them require putting their salary in the job description. So you can find me there.
Awesome. Thanks, Molly. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks so much, Jamie.
Thank you for listening. We would love if you would subscribe and review this podcast and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you'd like to get in touch with Jamie, you can email her at info@hashtag-legal.com, all spelled out. Or find her on social media on Instagram at #_legal, all spelled out, and YouTube at Jamie Lieberman Rocks. Thanks so much and have an amazing week.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.